Welcome back to the Conscious Success Podcast, where we teach you how to master your mind, enhance your health, and expand your wealth. I'm your host, Madhu, and I am joined by Dr. Kevin Preston, who's one of my favorite teachers of traditional Chinese medicine, where we're really talking about why you don't feel as good as you know you could feel, and frankly, how to treat the body as the temple that it is, and slowly but surely teach yourself and train your body how to do what it does best, and that's really heal itself, how to become self-empowered in your own healing journey, and practical tips to bringing your body into harmony and balance. And as always, if you enjoy what you listen to today, join our free Conscious Success community at the link below, where we can show you the practical tips and tools of how to do everything we are covering here. Let's jump in. It's like everyone nowadays knows that modern medicine is failing them to a certain degree. You see it just on the media, you see it on social media, that's for sure. People talking about, you know, holistic health and wellness, and it's becoming more and more, let's say, common knowledge that allopathic medicine can be helpful. Like if I'm getting surgery, definitely going to the hospital. However, when it comes to actually addressing the root problem, there's an awareness around the holistic approach. And now you, as an expert in holistic health and a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine, I'd be curious to hear, like, what has been your experience over the many years you've held your practice of seeing that transformation of people realizing, okay, we're not hitting the root here. We need something more. Like, have you seen it more over the years, or is that just my skewed perspective and bias?
Yeah, I probably have a skewed perspective in some way because of the people that come to see me. However, compared to the early days of practice where almost everybody I saw, they'd never had acupuncture before. Mm-hmm. Now, when I see a new client, they likely have had acupuncture. Maybe not everybody, but that's changed. It's like 90% of my first patients, it was like a new thing for them. And so things have changed a lot. It's almost like the cat's out of the bag with what you just shared is conventional approach to medicine is not really going to get the root issue because it's not aiming to. And I think one of the big steps that people go through when they talk to me or somebody like you is even just the understanding that there is more because so many clients have, you know, just come in and they don't have any idea what else is available to them. And you start, you know, expanding the horizon a little bit, you expand their perspective, and they suddenly have these light bulbs going off of like, I knew there was more. Like, I knew it wasn't just about the medication or that there was no other options, because sometimes they're literally told that there's nothing else you can do, which in my experience is really far from the truth.
So disempowering too. It's like you're an example of what they say, a real doctor is trying to work themselves out of a job, you know, whereas sometimes modern medicine, the whole idea is if you stop being sick, where's my paycheck? You know, and this does not have to be a big pharma, anti-big pharma podcast of sorts, but there is a reality to that. And one thing I appreciate about what you offer, specifically in the world of holistic health and more specific to traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture, is there's a way in which you're bringing people the knowledge. It sounds like, if I understood what you're saying, it's you're not just doing the healing modalities, which is great, but people know there's something and you're filling in the gap of like what that something is. Mm-hmm. What does that typically look like? People come in, maybe I've done acupuncture once or twice. Like, what direction do you tend to send people in to take a quote unquote more holistic route in their healing journey?
I think probably nobody gets out of my office without being educated in some way about what I'm doing. And I want them to ask, like, why are you doing that? Or what is this for? Why are we taking this approach? And I want them to be curious. And something that's happened in conventional medicine a lot is it seems like a lot of people are not allowed to ask questions. And if you ask too many questions, sometimes it starts going a little bit sideways. Yeah, and again, I'm not trying to knock any professionals out there. However, many, many, many patients of mine over the years, that's what they tell me. That's been their experience, that they asked a couple of questions. They didn't really get, you know, well answered in a variety of ways. And then they're asking me, and we have time. And I think that might be one of the big differences is I choose to take quite a bit of time with people that I'm seeing directly because I want to have those discussions. I want them to feel understood. More importantly, they need to be listened to. And just listening to what's going on for somebody and a bit of their story, that often sparks a healing cascade just in that, because up until that point, unfortunately, for many of them, they haven't really been listened to.
Yeah, it's kind of contrary to the, all right, next, all right, on, you know, there's a way in which it's actually spending time with them, educating them. And then I like what you mentioned is that sometimes just in the conversation, there's an almost epiphany that they'll have of like, wait a second, this, oh yeah, this is possible. What you're telling me is possible. And what a relief, what an empowering opportunity this. On top of the, like, what to speak of the actual healing modalities you're sharing with them, just like creating an actual space for healing to exist. It's very, anyway, I'm biased because, as you know, as an Ayurvedic practitioner for years, and I never had my own practice like you in a way, a physical practice. It was some stuff in person, but it was kind of like a nomad, go to a place, have 40 people, see them, and then move on to another place. And, you know, very, like, according to traditional Ayurvedic principles, the way my teacher in India does it is kind of like that, less traditional than what we have, or let's say a different type of tradition than we have here in the West. But even when I was traveling and not doing this full time, like you've been doing for how many years now?
More than 16 now. It seems like it's just been a heartbeat at times, but a lot's happened in that time for sure.
Yeah. You know, you made a career out of this, and it makes sense with all the, we couldn't even count all the people whose lives you've helped. And even with the modicum of what I've done compared to, it's definitely what, didn't spend 16 years, but in the, let's see, 4 years that I was full time doing that, what I saw more than anything was there was a way in which people felt condescended when they would go to some practitioners or doctor. It was like, hey, you ask a question and it's like the answer they got was so, I mean, yeah, it'd be nice. Just let's say condescending. There's definitely other words I could use.
Yeah.
And I like your approach of like, let's not do that. Let's be like, no, let's sit on the ground. And then, well, physically or metaphorically, of like, let's get together and sit and talk about just the knowledge behind how to actually do it. So curious to hear more about what the process you walk people through, even though it's personalized, like what's the general process for somebody who's interested in understanding holistic health from, say, a traditional Chinese medicine approach?
Yeah, I would say if I generalize traditional Chinese medicine in some way, most practitioners are going to sit down with you, ask you some questions, you know, you go through the main things, what's your chief complaint, what's, you know, brought you here. But then you start getting into the deeper layers and the, I like to call them like second and third level questions, where it's not, hey, what's your top symptom? All right, cool. And then we just dive into that. What are some of the other things that could be going on? Because what's happened, and I don't know in the US necessarily, but in Canada, if you go to see your GP, you're allowed to have one issue, only one thing that you can talk about.
Per visit.
Yeah. And I remember the first time hearing that from patients of mine, and I thought they were joking. It's like going to the mechanic and you've got a bunch of stuff needs, you know, fixing in your car. And they're like, nope, we're only going to look at your tires today, not all these other things that are clearly an issue as well. You're going to have to make a separate appointment. And so that's what the system has been set up like. You can bring one issue to the table. And to me, like, this has been going on for years. I'm still mind blown by that, that the complexities and the nuances of the human body, and you have to choose one thing, even if you have several major things, nope, you got to come back for another visit. So the inefficiency, not to mention the ineffectiveness of that, especially from a holistic viewpoint, is kind of insanity.
Because, makes you want to get violent.
Yeah, like everything. I know, I'm usually like nasal breathing. Somebody's telling me that. I'm like, hey, what did they say? What are they telling you? And I don't have all the answers to everything, but sure. I can tell you, I sit with a lot of human beings, and I can tell you when a human being is being disrespected, or they've been, you know, gaslit, or condescending remarks and comments of they couldn't possibly know what's going on with their body. But that is actually something I found over the years when I listen and hold space for healing to happen. And I'll often ask this directly. What do you think is at the root here? And sometimes they'll say, I don't know. And that's authentic. But maybe with a bit of guiding or like a little bit more, you know, second, third level questions, they'll get back to something and they'll say, you know, there was this thing that happened, or this circumstance, or this exposure, maybe had to toxins or something, some infection, and they never felt the same after that. And they think, I've always thought it might be related, but I've brought this up to so many people and they all say, no, it couldn't possibly be that. And to me, the arrogance of telling somebody what it couldn't possibly have to do with is pretty short-sighted. Because like, how do I know? what's truly impacting them until I've gotten through a lot of layers, then you'll start to see the patterns emerge. But to just unequivocally say, nope, definitely nothing to do with that. Yeah. Again, nasal breathing, just calm in my system. let's draw some more out here and see what's actually at the root. And so a lot of people actually have a knowing that there's certain factors or things that they've been through that are contributing to what's happening for them now. And if you listen to them, they'll kind of tell you the answer.
Wow. Talk about empowering. I really like your example too of the mechanic. It's like, yeah, we're going to go just your steering wheel today. Well, my engine doesn't work. Let's just steering wheel. I mean, and I can't help but pick around what to speak of yet, inefficiencies, but it's a great strategy for making a lot of money. And I have nothing against making money with integrity, but yeah, how foolish would it be to try to fix, I know nothing about cars. I drove here in an electric car. I couldn't tell you a thing. The only maintenance is you got to put the windshield wiper in. So I'm not going to pretend like I know, but enough to say if this part isn't working, if the belt's not working, then this other thing's not working. Yeah. How short-sighted and frankly, how arrogant of an idea the word keeps coming to my mind is like disempowering versus empowering. Just say, yeah, you don't know, don't even think about that. Don't worry about that traumatic experience emotionally or physically traumatic experience you had. Like that couldn't be relevant. It's like, what great power do you have to be able to say with such confidence? And which anyway, as you said so eloquently, what a foolish concept anyway.
Well, it often shows in the results. And so I like to hold things that I diagnose or look at or the patterns fairly lightly of the idea that I may not know, but I'll often say to people, I feel like this circumstance and it led to this and this and this. This is my view of how these things are likely connected. Does that resonate with you? Does that make sense? And they might, share, oh yeah, like I can see that. And then I might expand that a little bit more, ask a few more questions. Suddenly then I've got a big bird's eye view of the picture and both of us often have an epiphany. And then they might have some tears or some relief of they know maybe they're in the right spot. And I'll share, like, I don't have all the answers to things, but if I don't, I'll do my best to figure it out. And I'm okay saying, I don't know. But then I like learning with everybody I see, or I know somebody that can help them with that specific issue that's maybe not in my zone of genius. I'm super happy to refer because I feel like people need a team and we all have different gifts, different talents, different ways of viewing things. And sometimes that's like really in my wheelhouse. And other times if it lies just outside of that, I might learn and grow my capacity so that it is in my wheelhouse. Or yeah, the network of, healers and practitioners or counselors or whatever they need, I'll say, go do that, then come back and see me. And then let's like take it from here. But I like kind of quarterbacking some of those things because there's just strength in numbers and why not utilize other people's, beautiful gifting.
If you've ever considered having a podcast, especially if you're expert at what you do, I cannot suggest more highly using Podigy's service, which is what we use. If you like this production here, I highly suggest you reach out to Podigy through their contact in the show notes below to run and host your podcast. I went through a bunch of different teams, tried a bunch of different things. No one came close to what I got post-production from Podigy. And even just making a launch easy, taking your content, sharing it, making it presentable, please check out Podigy. If you're great at what you do and you've ever considered having a podcast, I really am excited for you to try them out as well. Takes a village.
It does.
Yeah. So it sounds like step one is you create a space for them to actually not be, let everything that they have to think about and say and offer. There's a safe space for them to put that out. And then you kind of corral them, start with maybe more superficial and going deeper and deeper into questioning to help them understand their own knowing, that intelligence of the body can empowering them to see the own body's ability to understand what's going on. And then from there, I like the term quarterbacking. Like your job is to make sure things get addressed and who has all the answers, but rather get the village support, go to everyone in their specialties and or simultaneously growing your own specialty to support someone. But I really appreciate your approach. We talked about this in our last conversation too, of like corralling someone to their own health instead of just do this. It's like, yeah, hey, what about this? Is this like your example? You said, does this resonate? It's like, yeah, it does resonate. Tears, because you're not just pushing them, but you're saying, hey, would you like Like, what about all these opportunities? Is this the one? Yes, that's the one I want. And actually creating a safe space for people to educate themselves, but then also feel empowered by self. I wouldn't call it diagnosis, but self, what would be a good word? I think you used a good word.
Yeah, understanding. I think well, part of what I'm wanting to coach people and guide people in is self-responsibility. So there's that. But then the self-empowerment, because if they're in that victim consciousness versus, oh, this is something that I can address in a way that I can kind of take the wheel back and, you know, somebody can take their power back, because they have often become very disempowered, or maybe the field of professionals around them have sort of led to that even further down the road. And I want them to come back into their own body, you know, come back into their own decision-making capacity, you know, find that courage again, start learning to trust their body again, because that's a big one. A lot of people have lost confidence in their system and they feel quite a disconnect. So we need to start creating a bridge for people to come back. And once they start doing that, you can see the light turn on in their eyes again. They start realizing that they do have a lot more influence over what's happening in their body. And then suddenly the next step emerges. We may do some treatments. They start feeling a bit better. They get some energy back. And then they, you know, it's like they get a positive affirmation of, oh, yeah, I tweaked this, changed my diet a little bit, got some treatment, got some guidance. Suddenly my body's responding. And now that hope, you know, tank, that hope meter starts getting filled up a little bit more. And you just see this beautiful momentum happen. But I also really want to educate them so that they don't and end up back in my office. And I love what you said in the beginning too, like in Chinese medicine, a lot of the old school mentality was doctors only got paid when their patients were healthy, not when they were sick. And that's obviously the opposite of conventional medicine nowadays. And I'm not quite there in my practice. Like, people do have to pay to see me, but I love nothing better than seeing that they don't need me. And maybe they're bringing their friends and family in. I'm like, how are you doing over there? And they're just like beaming. I'm good, doc. I don't need anything from you. Like, that is satisfaction for me.
That's the win. Mm-hmm. Putting them back in the driver's seat. Well, I want to pick your brain more on that too, because for those unfamiliar with, say, Ayurveda, which is the ancient system of holistic healing from India, this kind of greater reverberated countries around India as well, and then going a little more north into traditional Chinese medicine, and they share the view that our inner world creates our outer world. And so you're talking about this idea of self-responsibility versus the victim mentality, which, according to both sciences, and I'd be curious to hear your perspective on this more, is if you're thinking, I can't do anything about this, I'm suffering, I'm hopeless, I mean, fill in the blank, but these very disempowering thoughts of, yeah, trying to convince ourselves, or maybe even successfully convincing ourselves we're a victim. I'm a big believer no one's ever a victim in every situation. Maybe we go more into that at some point, but convincing themselves they're a victim will inevitably slow down, if not derail, their healing practices, where the opposite of self-empowerment and saying self-responsibility, like, I'm in control, I'm in the driver's seat, there is so much in my control to actually allow me to, as you said, live a life that will turn the lights back on in the eyes. I've seen that, what you're talking about, I love it. And actually helping people understand that self-empowerment and that self-responsibility is available. Could you say more to what that looks like in a practical way of, like, or maybe philosophically as well, like, mm-hmm. what does it look like to actually develop more of the type of sense of self-responsibility for our life and for our health?
Well, and I can speak personally too, that this notion I had years ago, looking at outcomes and, you know, good things that were happening in my life and me taking responsibility, like, oh yeah, I manifested that. Like, this is amazing. But all the stuff that was not going well, in my mind, I was like, I didn't manifest that. That's just stuff that's not good that's happening. But, like, look at what I'm creating over here. And then the more I would do the deeper work, come into a higher level of awareness and consciousness and all the rest, I started to see, oh no, I think I'm responsible for all of this stuff. So having lived that and experienced that, and still to this day, there's things that come up, I can see, like, oh, I see how I created that. Maybe some subconscious beliefs and different elements that are holding me back, limited views and things that I need to expand my perspective on. The body will communicate that immediately. So that's often how it shows up. And in my view, and even in Chinese medicine, like you said, like, the mind and body are not separate. And one of the things I was just speaking on yesterday in an event, I was really diving into the organ systems and the corresponding emotions. So this is becoming more commonplace now. People are starting to put it together that the liver, in Chinese medicine theory, more associated with anger. Kidneys is more fear. The spleen is more like excessive thinking, like overthinking. Pretty common in our modern world now, I would say. And how the actual organ function can be affected by those suppression of emotions deep in the organ network and vice versa. So as we start to pull those apart a little bit, you start to gain clues. When I see a CEO or somebody come in, has a lot of suppressed anger, maybe they don't even know it, you know, they're disrupting their company and they think it's everybody else's fault. And then we dive in and some of the testing that I do, or even Chinese medicine methods, I can tell like their liver is so inflamed and congested and compacted. And as a filter, when that is stuck, oh, it leads to all kinds of things. Their blood pressure starts going up, maybe cholesterol's off, blood sugar starts to. So there is very tangible, real world physiological things that can happen from unmet emotional elements. And, you know, most of us in my lineage anyway, and I think a lot of North America, if I'm just generalizing, haven't really been taught how to really interface with our emotions in a healthy way. And let alone the idea that that would actually impact our direct organ health and our vitality and, you know, the level of spirit, you know, the Shen that you see in somebody's eyes, and all of it is completely connected. So those things are concepts that I bring to people pretty early on in the journey with me. And we pick up some of those threads and I'll ask one question and maybe that unpacks something else. And pretty soon, you know, we're putting everything on the table for them to look at, to then use that as really good data and reflection in their lives, where then they can actually start using that information in an empowering way, not a disempowering way. And I'll reflect, hey, do you notice that you're saying this and this and this, but what I see in your actions is actually over here? Do you see the disconnect? And they might have a light bulb moment of, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I got so far off track. And then we'll start weaving that back together. And suddenly they start taking those concepts into their life. And it affects the decisions that they make every day, even little ones. And then maybe after a month or two, I see them again and they're transforming. You could kind of see it. And once somebody gets hungry that way a little bit, like the hope returns, the spark returns, the way that they interact with their relationships, the decisions they make around food, it almost organically changes. And yeah, they choose organic food more because they start realizing there's a consequence to not, and they need to actually make some of those better decisions. And they'll get real world responses right away, or they'll bring in blood tests to me and say, hey, look, my liver enzymes are back in range again. Like, you told me my liver was off, and like it was, but now it's good. And like, yeah, you can influence that just because maybe somebody told you like, hey, don't worry about that. Also, maybe not accurate, or there's nothing you could do about that. It must be genetic or something. And I often find, you know, if we question, I am that person, ask a lot of questions, kind of questions all the beliefs around what the body can or can't do. And it turns out most of the time the system's like, oh no, I'm way more capable than what you think I am.
So much to unpack of what you just shared, but there's two particular areas I want to dive deeper into. One is there's the holistic in both meanings, WH holistic and HO holistic, of everything is connected. And as you were mentioning, from a kind of psychosomatic, like our thoughts affect our organs. And an example you gave, livers, where anger is held, and kidneys. And this is great. Very similar, interestingly enough, to Ayurveda, far more overlapping than not. That's for sure.
Yeah, so similar.
So anyway, it's crazy. And so there's a way in which our thoughts affect our physical body, and our physical body affects our thoughts. And then the other aspect that I really appreciate that you touched on is a sense of, you might call it, there's a word you used, another maybe synonym of sorts is, awareness is too general, but you're self-empowering as well as supporting, like coaching people. In other words, facilitating is maybe the word I'm looking for. Like You're corralling and facilitating them to, let's say, build their own appetite. I think you use the word thirst or hunger, right? Like once the hunger starts, there's a way in which in order to do proper healing, you actually have to reignite the, in Sanskrit it's called Agni, or the fire digestion. And that means literally the physical digestion, but also the mind, because once people see that it's available, and it's not just a woo-woo concept, which we're often, at least I know I grew up thinking, if somebody told me, your liver's hot, that's why you're hanging out, my hot liver would have made me want to punch them.
Yeah, 100%,
And sometimes there's a woo-woo concept, but rather it's when you have the experience, you can't doubt it. The proof for the pudding is in the tasting. You're like, okay, I get it now. And so I do want to look more to this first point that you mentioned of understanding the connection from a psycho to physical manifestation point. Mm-hmm. And so if I understand you correctly, within the practice and all these years you've been doing this, you want to tackle it both psychologically as well as physiologically in terms of, okay, let's just, I like the idea of the liver because liver being the janitor of the body, you know, if you're not sleeping right, it's just going to keep overheating and doesn't get to clean everything out like it should, et cetera. A lot of people, correct me if I'm mistaken, in the West may or may not have a very hot, aggravated liver, which causes, I mean, gosh, so many, like, anyway, let's just call it anger. A lot of outbursts, a lot of challenges, a lot of problems in this world. And so how does someone, number one, start to understand that psycho to physiological connection and then work on it in both levels? Like, I mean, obviously we can't go through every organ, but maybe just give an example of the liver. It's like, okay, I know I got a hot liver. I know I'm angry. And I know all the activities I do with irregular sleeping and eating, et cetera, heat it up more, aggravate it more, et cetera. How do I deal with that both psychologically as well as physiologically?
Yeah, great. I love unpacking these elements because I remember a time when I had no idea about this. Nobody had taught me previously once I got into Chinese medicine. And, you know, I'd done counseling and lots of self-growth work and everything else. And I could see how everything started fitting together. And so I would say at this point in my career and for a while now too, I view my role more as a guide. And, you know, if I'm like a mountain guide or something, and somebody wants to climb to the top of the mountain in the Himalayas or whatever, you want to climb to Everest, you need a guide. Most people need a guide. You need support. I'm not going to carry you up there and put you on my back. I used to do that. And that just leads to practitioner burnout. I'm sure anybody listening that's a practitioner, you know what I'm talking about, because I thought I needed to do it. And then in some cases, I wanted pristine health for that person more than they did. And I could see how there's an imbalance there. And also my ego loved being the hero, loved getting in there, you know, it's like, I have the solution. Kevin's here, everybody. No need to worry. I will give you the magic potion and the solution. And it worked for a time. But what I found is I started to get burnt out by carrying too much of the load and not actually being deeply effective over the long run. So if we're talking about the emotions and we're going to guide up the mountain, maybe I'm carrying a couple extra oxygen bottles for you. You know, we get to that first base camp and somebody's struggling. That's when maybe we'll do some treatment and we'll check in and we'll say, what's going on for you right now? What are you noticing? And they get to say, well, this first part of the journey, I felt a lot of anger come up. And I'll say, oh, that's interesting. Should we talk about that a little bit more? It sounds like your liver's either already congested or maybe it's become congested. What are you taking for supplements? What else are you eating? Oh, the chemical-laden food that is part of your diet, it is bogging down that major filtration system and the liver is starting to tell you about it. It's getting pretty unhappy in there. And just like a vehicle, if we go back to that analogy, if you've got a blocked filter, you're going to have an issue and everything else starts heating up in the body because now your system has to adapt to not being able to clear and detox properly. And subsequently, their fuse, their frustration, their irritability will start climbing. And so those are a lot of signs that I can usually point to the liver that we might use some herbal formulas, do some detox on the liver, maybe some acupuncture. And I also might recommend that they go into the forest and scream, yell it out a little bit, do some therapy, do some somatic therapy of like addressing the emotion head on and also just allowing themselves to feel that. And actually one of the gentlemen I was talking to yesterday, he had the realization through part of the processes we were doing that he's actually carrying a lot of rage, but he didn't know that until the process was at an end. That was the insight. Oh my goodness, I've got so much rage in here. And he's working out all the time, you know, muscly guy. And he's like, oh my God, I just figured out why I work out so much. So we were talking about this of, hey, here's some practical things. Just the awareness that you have all this trapped and suppressed emotion in your body from probably an early age, that's huge. And I often say, if you have awareness of something, then it can start moving. If you don't have awareness, nothing's going to move in that direction. So what you do with it then can unfold over time. You can get support. There's so many practitioners that you can work with. I'll often work with the organ structure directly with, you know, different remedies, different formulas, and they'll actually find that their anger or their irritability starts decreasing. And I often love it, you know, when spouses come in And they'll quietly say to me, hey, thank you so much for treating my husband like he is like a different human being. He sleeps way better. He's not snapping at me or the kids anymore. And like, I don't know what you did, but keep doing it. Or on the other side, somebody's like, I didn't even know my wife was getting her period. And normally that was a big thing in our relationship. And now it's so smooth and she's much happier. And we're subsequently not at each other. And there's more harmony. And in Chinese medicine, harmonizing the energy flow of the body is the key. You know, we want to bring that balance. And so if you find the areas that are out of balance, that can be addressed and suddenly everything starts opening again.
This episode is sponsored by the MK Lab, the go-to content studio in San Diego for visionaries, podcasters, and business owners ready to take their brand to the next level. Whether you're launching a podcast, filming a course, or capturing branded content, the MK Lab has everything you need under one roof. Cinematic lighting, studio quality sound, and a creative atmosphere that fuels results. Book your session today at MarikairosLab.com and follow at the MK Lab for behind-the-scenes content and creator tips.
So eloquently said. And I really like your analogies too, like of being a guide. And, you know, there's that, was it George Harrison song? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You can lead a man to wisdom, but you can't make him think. And but rather is you kind of facilitate or guide them to get to, let's say, give them all the options and kind of corral, poke and help them take the journey themselves as opposed to dragging them feet first up the mountain. And I also really like this idea about balance. I want to pick your brain on that in terms of what people can do practically to start to facilitate more harmony and more balance. The other point I really also, I think it's too helpful to not bring up is you mentioned how when people start doing this healing journey, it's one thing to notice it within yourself, but it's something else when other people around you see it as well. Like there's a famous violinist, I'm sad to not remember the name right now, but famous violinist who'd say, after a day of not practicing, I could tell. After 2 days of practicing, my teacher and like my ensemble can tell. And after 3 days of not practicing, everyone can tell I'm not. And it works in the other way as well. Like after, you know, practicing one day, it's like, oh, I start to feel it. And then after 2 days doing these, I mean, maybe it'll take more than a few days, but certainly even it just takes a few minutes or an hour to start the harmonizing or balancing practice. But however long it takes, I mean to say people, you'll see the difference, but people will as well. And that is the ignition that can empower others to heal. Like the same way you're guiding them, you light that, or let's say amplify the light within them. Mm-hmm. And then that light within them also amplifies lights in others. And it's a type of exponential gift that keeps on giving that you're providing from a healing experience. And I think so many people are like, how do I get my partner in? How do I get my mom to do, you know, I want her to balance her yang, or, yeah, you know, that whatever they, you know, say yang in English, you know, and whatever ideas might be there. And I really want to emphasize that such a perfect point that you made of guiding someone there and understanding that's a gift that just keeps on giving. And so anyway, thank you for those brilliant points. I want to know practically when you're talking about balancing, harmonizing, obviously Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, many holistic sciences, it's a one-to-one basis. Every unique situation should be addressed with a unique remedy. But from a general perspective, what are some things people can do either to understand how to harmonize or balance and or the practices to harmonize and balance? Because as you said, awareness is the first step.
Yeah.
Like, how do we at least do that if not practicals?
Yeah, I think the practical steps after my years in practice so far and seeing the modern world that we're living in, at least in North America here, the lymphatic system needs to be addressed in almost everybody. Your lymph system is where the immune system functions, white blood cells, cleans up infections, debris, toxins. There's so many toxins coming into the human body now that the lymphatic system is really getting disrupted. And it's another main filter system that if it doesn't get cleared out, it'll start causing issues elsewhere in the body. So many of my patients and different programs and courses that we've been building, that's the way I've set it up. Because after testing thousands and thousands of people, you start to see the patterns emerge, and it's different than it was 10 or 15 years ago. The toxic load is just accumulating so much. So even in my own body, I'll still do that work quarterly, you know, semi-regularly, because I don't need it to get congested to be doing treatment. You know, preventative medicine is a thing. And You know, you take your vehicles in for oil changes. You know, we do all these things that actually will prolong life in really beautiful ways, and quantity and quality. So I would say for anybody listening, don't forget about the lymphatic system. And in fact, that might be one of the first places to start. And then after I do that work with somebody, you know, through remedies, and I've got devices I'm using now and setting up these programs, we pretty much take everybody through lymphatic drainage and lymphatic detox. Once we've done that, at least to a degree, get that open, get that moving, then we move on to the liver. And once we get that open and get that moving, then we move on to the kidneys. So that's kind of the three phases that we typically are going through. And there's been times I've tried to not do that with a patient, because in my own mind, I'm like, I can't do the same thing for everybody. And I don't. Like, each of these phases can be unique.
Of course. Yeah.
But some of the things I'm systematizing so that we can actually treat way more people, it's been working really well. And if that's all somebody does, give some love to the lymphatics, get that clearing, lymph massage, sauna, cold plunge, all like contrast therapy. Acupuncture is a good one. There's different herbal remedies. There's homeopathic remedies. There's devices, lymphatic. And then once you get that open up, the liver is like the main aspect. And then you also give love to the kidneys. They're filtering blood 24/7 and then some. If that's all you get to, you're generally going to be way better off. And whatever problems are deeper than that, or more chronic or long lasting, you're going to set yourself up for success. Because a lot of people I see do, you know, parasite cleanses, all kinds of different cleanses are on the market now, which I'm grateful for in some ways. But it's also, when you give a lot of power, it's like a 16-year-old just got their driver's license and you give them a Ferrari. They could drive that well, but they could also wrap themselves around a pole pretty quick because it's too much horsepower. So there's kind of a renaissance happening with way more availability, but not necessarily the education or the knowledge of knowing how to like wield that power. There's a reason I went to school for so many years. And again, I don't have all the answers, but I'm always wanting to learn and study. So I think we're moving into a way more empowered state, but it takes a little bit of time to get that education landed of how to actually go through that strategically. So that's kind of the three steps I would say is generally going to help almost everybody. And then if you do want to do deeper cleansing or a parasite cleanse or something like that, it's going to be generally way more effective because you got your detox pathways open. If you try and jam a bunch of toxins through and do a big heavy metal cleanse and all your detox pathways are stuck, people feel more sick. They get more inflamed. They can't get the toxins out. Now you've kind of stirred it up and spread it around the body, but without the actual payoff or without the resolve. Now they come in to see me and they're like, hey, I'm kind of messed up. I was trying to DIY some of this stuff. I'm like, it's okay. But let's lay down some ground rules. Here's where you may have went wrong. I love your intention. You're trying to take matters into your own hands. That's beautiful too. But let's refine that a little bit. So you got to do the foundational pieces. And then from there, you know, the world is your oyster and things generally will be way more effective.
So then, in other words, it's the awareness and knowledge you've been so helpful to. I mean, I want that bashed over my head. You know, it's like we got to hear that over and over. It's like bring the awareness and the knowledge in, because otherwise, as you mentioned, yeah, if I had a dime for every time that somebody came, oh, I did this fast and I feel so much worse. I'm like, yeah. And you gave another good example. You're just stirring it up. Where's it going? It's definitely not being evacuated properly. So have a proper awareness. But then the second point that you're mentioning is something I say, maybe winds up probably being every podcast now, is got to get a guru. You got to get a guru. You got to get a teacher, somebody who can, like a guide, a mentor, somebody who can facilitate you through it. And so the combination of proper awareness and knowledge in the situation, getting a proper guide and an example of what that looks like is, yeah, just get the system working. Lymphatic, which is not typically focused on from a Western perspective. Some people are like, what even is this?
Yeah.
What are these things that swell up? I don't even get it. Anyway, lymphatic drainage, and then say some of the heavy hitters like the liver and the kidneys and all that, to say under proper guidance with someone like you. And I mean, with that, how would someone learn more with what you have? And everyone knows, I don't bring just anyone on. I'm very particular. Somebody, they got to be cool. Thanks for being cool, Dr. Kevin. But more than that, it's really good at what they do. And, you know, I'm just in the time months that we've been connected, it's just really exciting to see how presentable you make your information, because there's a lot of good information, but sometimes it's like, what did I just listen to? Or in one ear, out the other. I love how accessible you make this knowledge. Where could somebody learn more from you specifically on how to cleanse their lymphatic system and their liver and their kidney and all the other steps that you can help them heal with?
I've got some courses. Some are available already. Some are coming out soon.
Cool.
And this is some of the things that we step people through. I'm running an online group right now called the Vitality Collective. And so everybody gets these little beautiful electromagnetic devices, pulse electromagnetic field. And then we also give them meridian protocols that are very specific to the lymphatics, to the liver, to the kidneys. And then from there, we usually clean up a bunch of the seasonal stuff like colds and flu, you know, bacteria, all the debris and things that people get exposed to regularly that are moving through their systems that it may bog them down and it may not cause direct long-term illness, but it can decrease performance, bit of brain fog, bit of fatigue. You know, we see that with various lingering infections in Chinese medicine. We call them lingering pathogens, things that come into the body. Maybe the internal terrain gets out of balance and then suddenly we're just not functioning optimally and there might not be an illness. And this is what I see conventionally. Somebody maybe gets all their blood work done and their doctor says it's fine, but they know they're not fine. And I love your analogy of the violinist that somebody can usually tell with their own system if they're connected. I'm not playing up to my capacity, but it may not be horrendous. But they can still tell something's a little bit off. And so everybody would kind of take through those steps. They start to notice big changes in their system. And then you clean up the next layers of all the toxins and the debris that they've accumulated over the last few years, perhaps, or further back. And then we dive into the gut. And we do that with everybody in those programs because I've found lymphatics, liver, kidneys. You know, I know it's really basic stuff for a lot of us, but then you got to clean up like lingering infections, things like that. And then you go to the gut. And if you do that in that sequence, it seems to really last and it really sticks in the body and people can actually raise their core baseline rather than maybe doing something and they get a temporary result, but then they're dropping back down again. And then they do something else and they come up for a little bit and then they're dropping back down again. So we like to have that, you know, in the business world of economy, like that steady stock chart of increases, and it may have up and down in it. But generally speaking, over a period of 3 to 6 months, 12 months beyond, you'll see that they, you know, transform and they come in and, you know, some of those results that people love getting reflections on of asking them, did you get Botox or what's going on? And they're saying, no, I didn't. I've been seeing Dr. Kev. I've been doing some clearing and detoxing because we only look as healthy as we feel internally. And you can see the anti-aging benefit of dealing with the deeper blockages in the system. And then it can't help but show there's more radiance, there's more color, the elasticity comes back, the circulation comes back. And you know, I'm appealing to the vanity and all of us, I guess, in some level as human beings, you know, we all want to look as good as we can. That's the internal work. So if you're working just from the external, from, you know, surface level, it's temporary. But if you work on the internal level, then you're going to get those results widespread through the whole system. Plus, you're going to likely add a lot of years to your life and your ability to connect with others. And, you know, if you want to hike the Himalayas when you're elderly or run marathons or whatever, you're going to be able to do that. So it's not a short-term aspect. We're always looking at the long game.
Well, that's one thing I specifically appreciate about you is that anyone who knows you, you do the thing. You are an example of health. And it's one thing to spew good knowledge, but then you see, I remember being a kid going to ears, nose, and throats doctor. And they gave me some like advice, and I was like, I don't look like you. And I was like, this isn't good. But you actually do the thing that you practice what you preach. And for that, I really appreciate you. And I appreciate so much these conversations we have. I'm excited in the show notes, people can actually check out all your courses, all the ways that they can start to learn from you. And I'm biased, but only because this stuff freaking works. It works.
It does.
And the worst case scenario is somebody feels better going through it. Best case scenario, they have the transformation you're talking about. Like the worst case scenario, they feel better if they do these things even decently. And so anyway, I'm so grateful, Dr. Kevin, for these types of conversations we get to have and bringing a level of consciousness into this deliberate decision-making into our health, self-empowerment, and ultimately a sense of self-responsibility. And just like I want a good mountain guide when we're traversing, I haven't gotten been in the Himalayas, but never Everest or anything like that. But just as I always like to get a tour guide, I'm grateful that there are expert tour guides like yourself healing in this world and doing it for many years. Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate being here. Love connecting with you. This is great.
Before we call it wraps, is there any other things you'd like to share with the audience that might help improve their quality of life all the more?
I'd say don't give up, you know, and trust that deeper knowing that you have in your body, even if you've been running into roadblocks with your health or haven't found that right person yet, haven't found that guru to, you know, tour guide, mountain guide, whatever it is, there is somebody for you. And it may take you a little bit of time to connect with somebody that you resonate with, but don't give up. Don't take no for an answer. You may need to search high and low a little bit, but there are people out there that can open a door for you. And I get support all the time. And this is one of the reasons I like to, you know, think I stay healthy is I work on it individually within myself, but then I get treatments and having that team. So I think everybody should consider cultivating a team of practitioners that have different skill sets, different talents, different insights, and then trusting your instincts and intuition of how and when you need to see them. And you'll get it over time. And, you know, we can't live in an isolated way completely and expect a lot of success out of that. So I'm going to continue investing in myself and my own health. I get to learn something all the time. But if I want to be impactful in the world, I do need to stay aligned and clear and healthy. And the more I'm doing that, the more I can support other people. So yeah, for everybody listening out there, if you're struggling, don't give up. There is that door that you might be 1 degree away from that you're just waiting to have that lock opened. And so keep going.
Keep going. Well said, brother. Thank you so much for your expertise and for, frankly, your service to this world. We need about 1,000 more of you. And so I'm stoked that you're training all these people, helping empower, bring their light up so they can bring the light up in others, and kind of to the point of this podcast, making them more and more consciously successful. Thank you, Dr. Kevin.
Thank you.
If you enjoy topics like what we explore today, as you guys already know by now, go ahead and join our free community, the Conscious Success Community, where we give away too many tools on holistic healing, self-empowerment, how to actually develop a type of self-responsibility in our life, and ultimately a mindset that's going to make us live the life that we want and ultimately improve our quality of life. You can join our group at the link in our show notes. And as always, we can't wait to see you on the next episode. And in the meantime, please, my friends, keep it conscious.